In this session, we are going to look at the liability individuals have for Class 2 and Class 4 national insurance contributions. The legislation states that a person who is gainfully employed in Great Britain pays Class 1 national insurance contributions. Consequently, self-employed earners pay Classes 2 and 4 contributions, where they are aged between 16 and the pensionable age, which is 65 for men and 60 for women. Contributions arise where the individual has income chargeable to tax under trading income. Let us firstly look at Class 2 national insurance contributions. These are flat rate contributions currently payable at £2.40 per week. Payment can be made either by a monthly direct debit or by a quarterly bill. No liability arises where earnings are below the small earnings exception. For 2010-11, the small earnings exception is £5,075. In order to apply the small earnings exception, the taxpayer must apply for a certificate of exception and must demonstrate that their income is below the limit in respect of accounting profit, apportioned to the appropriate tax year. It is not the trading income figure that we actually take in this case. It is the profit that we compute using normal accounting principles. However, the revenue often accept the taxpayer's latest trading income figure as shown on their self-assessment tax return. If it turns out that contributions to Class 2 have been paid and need not have been due to the earnings being smaller than this exception, a refund is possible. However, the taxpayer must claim by the 31st of December following the end of the contribution year. Let us now look at Class 4 national insurance contributions.
For 2010-11, these are payable at 8% on profits between £5,715 and £43,875, with an uncapped 1% payable on profits above £43,875. Profits in this context is the trading income for the tax year. Class 4 national insurance contributions are payable under self-assessment along with the trader's income tax. Payments on account are due on the 31st of January in the tax year and the 31st of July following the tax year, and are based on the previous year's NIC liability. A balancing payment is due on the 31st of January following the end of the tax year.
We will now look at the issue of Class 4 contributions and losses. Losses are treated as negative earnings for Class 4 purposes. This means that we may still deduct losses from taxable profits for NIC purposes, even if they have been fully utilised for income tax purposes. For instance, against other income under Section 64. Let me illustrate this.
For the year ended 31st of March 2010, a trader made a trading loss of £16,000 and has other income of £10,000. For the year ended 31st of March 2011, there is a trading profit of £30,000 and other income of £5,000. Assume the trader submits a current year claim in 2009-10 under Section 64. The loss of £10,000 will be set against the other income in 2009-10, reducing it to zero. The trader will then have losses of £6,000 to carry forward to 2010-11 under Section 83 to set against trading profits of that year. Let us now look at Class 4 NIC for 2010-11, which is based on the trading profits for the year ended 31st of March 2011. The earnings for Class 4 purposes will be £14,000. As the full amount of the trading losses will be available against the Class 4 income, even though only £6,000 will be available for tax purposes. That is because we can carry forward the full amount, as it is always negative earnings, and will always reduce Class 4 earnings, where it has been set against other income. So, what is the Class 4 national insurance due? You may want to refer to your tax tables to remind yourselves of the rates and limits for 2010-11. Insert the figure in the box and select continue when you are ready. The correct answer is £663, as shown in the formula given on your screen.
Let us now look at the issue of the annual maxima of national insurance contributions. There is an annual maxima of contributions that any individual cannot exceed in each contribution year. The contribution year is the same as the tax year. These rules apply where the earner either has two jobs and is therefore paying Class 1 NICs twice, or he is both employed and self-employed. As we know, somebody who is an employee pays Class 1 national insurance, and the self-employed pay Classes 2 and 4. If an individual has substantial earnings and profits as both an employee and as a self-employed trader, this could add up to a sizable amount of national insurance contributions. There is therefore a maximum cap which applies each year. There are two tests that we must apply. Test 1 compares Classes 1 and 2 and allows us to reclaim any excess Class 2 contributions, and then, if appropriate, some of the Class 1. Test 2 compares all classes of national insurance, but only allows a refund of the Class 4 contributions. Let us look at Test 1. Test 1 applies when either the taxpayer has more than one employment or has a self-employed trade as well as a job, and is therefore paying both Class 1 and Class 2 contributions. Statutory Instrument Number 1004 of 2001 contains a series of steps which we must follow to calculate the maximum NICs payable in the year. Although we will reproduce the various steps on the next couple of pages, we do not recommend that you try to learn them. You should always answer a question on these annual maxima rules by referring to the statutory instrument. You will find it useful at this point to pause this lecture and have the statutory instrument open in front of you for reference.
In step 1, we take the weekly Class 1 upper earnings threshold, £844 for 2010-11, and deduct the weekly primary threshold, £110 for 2010-11.
We multiply this by 53. As the limits are static, this will give us a figure of £38,902. In step 2, we multiply the result of step 1 by 11%. This gives £4,279.22. In step 3, for each separate employment, we add together the amount by which earnings from each employment are above the primary threshold but below the upper earnings limit. We do this as an annual calculation. In step 4, we take the result of step 3 and deduct the result of step 1. Step 1, you may recall, gave us £38,902. Step 4 will only give us a positive result if the taxpayer has more than one employment. If the taxpayer has only one job and is therefore paying Class 1 NIC only once, this figure will come out to be zero. If step 4 is positive, we multiply by 1%. If step 4 is negative, we assume the result of step 5 to be nil. In step 6, we add together, for each separate employment, the amount by which earnings exceed the upper earnings limit. If earnings from each employment are £43,875 or less, this figure will be nil. Step 7 takes the figure from step 6, if applicable, and multiplies by 1%. The final step, step 8, adds the various results together to produce the annual maximum. This annual maximum is the total amount of Class 1 and Class 2 contributions an employee can pay in any tax year. We therefore deduct the Class 1 primary contributions and Class 2 contributions paid by the taxpayer in the year, and any excess contributions will be refunded. The NIC refund comes first from Class 2 contributions, followed by Class 1. As you will see, this is a convoluted process, and any computations must be done by referring to the statutory instrument. Alex is employed by a firm of solicitors for 2 days a week and earns a salary of £663 per week.
This equates to £34,476 per annum.
For the rest of his time, he has his own sole practice, and his 2010-11 trading profits are £21,000. The starting point in any annual maxima question is to calculate the NICs actually paid in 2010-11. We start with Class 1 primary contributions.
Class 1 NICs paid, as per your screen, are £3,163.16. Class 2 NICs paid at £2.40 per week are £124.80. As Alex is self-employed, he also pays Class 4. Class 4 NIC is paid at 8% on profits in excess of the lower limit, and in this case, the Class 4 paid is £1,222.80. As Alex has paid contributions under Classes 1, 2 and 4, we must apply Test 1 to ascertain whether he is due an NIC refund. We start with Step 1. Step 1 takes the difference between the weekly upper limit and the primary threshold and multiplies by 53. This gives £38,902. We then multiply by 11% to give £4,279.22. Step 3 takes earnings above the primary threshold. These earnings are capped at the upper earnings limit if necessary. In this instance, earnings are below the upper earnings limit, so we simply take the excess above £5,715. This gives £28,761. In Step 4, we deduct the result of Step 1 from the figure given by Step 3. In this case, we have a negative number, so we assume this result to be nil. This will always be the case where an employee has only one employment. Step 5 produces a nil result as Step 4 is negative. In Step 6, we take the excess of earnings above the upper earnings limit. Again, this figure is zero, as Alex's salary is less than £43,875. Step 7 takes the result of Step 6 and multiplies by 1%. As Step 6 is zero, this calculation is not necessary. Finally, Step 8 takes the relevant results and adds them together. The figure obtained from Step 2 is £4,279.22.
Both Steps 5 and 7 produce nil results, so the annual maximum for the year is £4,279.22. This is the maximum amount of Class 1 and Class 2 NICs Alex can pay in 2010-11.
We deduct NICs actually paid to arrive at his refund. Class 1 primary NICs paid were £3,163.16. Class 2 paid was £124.80. As the actual NICs paid are less than the annual maximum, there is no NIC refund under Test 1. This is commonly the case where the taxpayer only has one employment.